Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. We now move into a new area in halacha. This is characteristics which a person should acquire. This is part one of Siman Chav Tes, the 29th chapter of the Kitzur. You'll notice that we are now leaving the discussion of waking up in the morning and davening shachris. That has taken really essentially the first 28, with a few exception, sections of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're now moving abroad beyond the actual wake up and davening, and now more about life in general, because again, what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is trying to do is give us a halachic guide to life, not just related to specific ritual activities, which is why this is profoundly meaningful, because it's going to govern every aspect of our lives. And specifically now, sometimes we think of characteristics as something which relates to the realm of psychology, of self-improvement, but not halacha, not the way that we should live our lives. And the Kitzur is arguing against this, as he is going to quote many of the earlier, the Gemara itself, the Rishonim, as an example, the Rambam, which is predominantly the source of much of what we're going to learn today, and many of the Baalei Musar as well. But this actually relates to the halachic aspects, meaning to say how we actually live. We're going to look at three concepts in our first section today, because there are two sections of the section. We're going to look at the concept of finding balance, behavior when performing mitzvahs, and the right environment. Let's take a jump straight in from the top. Our first concept of finding the right balance. So first of all, it's just worthwhile noting that we as human beings are hardwired a certain way. We're born with certain characteristics. We also acknowledge that nurture, the way that we treat ourselves or we are educated or self-educate, helps change the way that we were hardwired or pivot it or angle it in a different direction. We're going to look at some of the halachic aspects of this as well. And this is based predominantly on the work of the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, in the halachas of characteristics. So first basic question here is, are all people the same? So clearly people look different, people have different physical characteristics, and the Gemara tells us that just as the face of every person is different, so too the contours of character, the contours of our consciousness are different as well. People are born with different natural inclinations. Okay, so second question, because we're looking at this, we're going to look at this through the prism of 13 questions. The second question is, can you give a few examples? So the Kitzur looks at this from the perspective of a continuum or a spectrum, which means to say is you can look at most characteristics as a spectrum between two poles. So for instance, calm and angry. Some people are just by nature much more calm people. Nothing gets them upset. Nothing gets their heartbeat too fast. And there's some people who are constantly angry, constantly passionate, constantly getting volatile about things. And there's a spectrum of personality between those two poles. And some people are just born more volatile and some people are born more unshakable. Another spectrum is arrogance and humility. Some people naturally feel very self-concerned or self-assured, and other people are very much not about themselves. They don't think about themselves too much. There is indulgence and abstinence. So people who are just naturally want to have more, and that is those people who just naturally just won't have anything. There are those people who are more expansive in their views. They're going to be businessmen. They're going to change the world. And there are those who are more narrow. They're dealing with what's in front of themselves. There are people who are stingy, who are generous. That's another spectrum. Cruel or kind, timid or courageous. There's so many different spectrums that the Kitzur lists over here. And people are found born with specific natios, specific inclinations within the spectrum towards either extreme. So the question then becomes, if everyone is born with certain proclivities, what is their goal in life? So the goal, as understood by the Kitzur, based on this Rambam, is what's called the golden mean. This means to say is that a person is attempting to find the middle ground, because usually the middle is the healthy means as well. So what are some examples of this? So a few examples. It's unhealthy to be running after all material things one's entire life, eating what one sees whenever one sees it, drinking what one drinks, engaging in any pleasure that one wants to whenever one has a whim for it. But on the opposite end of this spectrum, being completely abstinent, not willing to taste anything, enjoy anything, buy anything, is also a very unhealthy unhealthy characteristic. The question is about finding the balance, the middle, the golden rule for that person. Similarly, it's unhealthy for a person who just gives away their money whenever they see opportunity, but it's also unhealthy for a person to keep everything and guard it and believe that it all belongs to them. Finding the balance is the question. Finding the balance and where to put that pin in the spectrum in the middle is what character work is as well. How does one do this? So the Kitzur doesn't mention this, but if you look in the Rambam himself in Hilchos Deos, he explains that sometimes to self-correct a proclivity which is too extreme in one direction, one needs to bend the paper in the opposite direction. So for instance, if a person happens to be a person who is more angry by nature, in order to get it, well, actually, angry is not a good example. We'll see why in a second. But let's say a person is a little too arrogant. So in order to get to the center of the angry to humility spectrum, a person needs to actually go for what we'll call a Navarodok training, where the idea would be is to self-humiliate themselves, go to an unhealthy unhealthy degree on the spectrum in the opposite direction to bring back them back to center so they can operate in the middle. So it requires sometimes the therapy in the opposite direction. Now, aren't there some characteristics which are objectively bad in the middle doesn't work? And the answer is correct. In fact, there are two which are listed over here, and they are arrogance and anger. Those are the two which are seen as just naturally always a problem. It's not good to be angry, and it's not good to be arrogant, and a person needs to move to the opposite end of the spectrum. So let's start one by one. How do I work on humility? So the Kitzur points out that it's in conduct. I speak calmly. I keep my eyes downwards and my heart upwards. So it's not a lack of belief in self, but it's a lack of focus on self as well. I was actually reading Living Legend recently about Rav Yitzchak David Grossman, and one thing I noticed in all the pictures with him is almost always he's looking down. He's never looking for the acknowledgement. It's really remarkable. That's humility. There are another aspect of this, says the Kitzur, is to look at other people and see the greatness in other people. And that could be, they could be more successful in wisdom, in finance, in their purity. There's always something to find in somebody else which they have, which you don't have. And therefore, it's worth being humbled to them because of that uniqueness which they acquire. The next question is, why is it so important to avoid anger? Why is this one of the critical ideas? So the Kitzur brings three perspectives. He says, anger always leads to sin. He quotes the Gemara which says, in the name of Eliyahu Novi to Rav Yehuda, the brother of Rav Salah, Chassida, who said, Loi tirtach v'loi techte, don't get angry and don't sin, because sin automatically comes out of anger. Another aspect of this is that sin, anger, questions Hashem's running of this world. So that's why it's called Kol HaKoyis, a person who gets angry. Ki'ilu oved avaros ko elilim, is as they're serving pagan deities. Why is that? Because when you're getting angry, you're essentially saying that this shouldn't have happened. I am the victim of an unfair circumstance. Wait a second, unfair? So who's running the show now? Oh, so God didn't know what he was doing when he set this up then. That's what essentially anger is revealing in one's theological perspective on the way the world is run. And thirdly, because anger also makes one's life very unpleasant. And that is, the Gemara says, Baal kas ein chayehem chayim. Those who are angry all the time, those who live with anger, their life is not life. It is not pleasant to be around them. And this is just a very simple thing as well. You could be 100% right. You could be absolutely wronged and the world owes it to you. But it's just unpleasant to be around because you are angry the whole time. So try to avoid this. How do I work on anger management? So the way, again, sounds simpler than it is to actually implement, but one should not allow the feeling of anger, which may be justified, to manifest itself in action. It seems that the Kitzur over here is going very much in the direction of behavioral therapy. We're not trying to change the way you feel or think, but the way that you act, and the acting will ultimately reform, will be the intervention for one's feelings ultimately. What if I need to get angry to educate? So first of all, that's a good question, and if that actually works, it may create regulation, but it may not create belief in that regulation. But even so, if that is the case, then it has to be a display of anger rather than actually a bubbling up of indignant rage, which it usually is. Finally, three questions. Surely one should try to avoid all things which are problematic. So for instance, the Mishnah in the Pirkei Avos says, Kinatave and Kavod, Moitzir Sa'adam in Olam, that a person who is envious, a person who is indulgent, and a person who seeks honor are things which are going to take away themselves out of this world. So surely I should try to go the opposite end of the spectrum, like with arrogance and anger. So the Kitzur says, no, you do need to avoid these, but It's not the case that one should be completely devoid of the want of honor. As an example, honor, we need to have a healthy sense of self. One should not be completely devoid of a sense of ta'ava, of indulgence. That's why a nazir, a person who is going to set themselves apart by not indulging in this world, has to bring a korban chatas, a sin offering, because one is expected to enjoy the beauty of Hashem's world as well, to a degree. And also kinah, when it comes to envy, we know that kinas sofrim tarbe chachma. There's envy about people doing good things, which can lead to incredible character growth as well. So it's not, one can't just sort of prescribe for oneself what is correct. It requires a prescription based on tradition and those who carry that tradition. What about quiet versus being loud? So it's, again, this is another exception that is talked about, and we know this from many sources, that shtika, that silence, is a very important emitter which a person needs to cultivate and move more towards than being verbose. And our sages tell us that kolam marbe devarim may be chet. A person who speaks a lot is going to inevitably sin at some point in time as well. There's many sayings about this, as Rava says in the Gemara, that maves v'chaim b'yad halashon, a person that death and life are in the hands of the tongue, that things we say can really create huge ramifications, which are very hard to be put back in the bottle as well. When is it allowed? So the Kisser says when one speaks, one divrei Torah, or the necessities of life. Those are all right. But more than that, it's more difficult. I had a teacher, Rabbi Yosef Kritz, who used to point out that if you avoid two topics of conversation, you are most likely going to be all right. And they are people, if you don't talk about people, which seems to be the predominant topic of most people's discussion, and negative things. So complaining about something, even if it starts with something, it's going to end up talking about someone. So negative conversations or people are two ways to avoid getting there. We move to the second concept now, which is behavior when performing mitzvahs. So what should my attitude be when I want to perform a mitzvah and others are scorning me for behaving in that way? So again, we go back to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which talks about the teachings of Yehuda ben Tamar. We explain having oz kanama, you need to be brazen like a leper. There's a space for brazenness, being strong about something, that even though people may be mocking you, you need to be proud about what you're doing. What should I do if there are multiple people who want to do a mitzvah? So in this case, this is not where Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamar was saying his words. Meaning, if I'm going to fight out about the fact that I deserve to do this mitzvah, I need to take the omud, I need to get this aliyah, I need to get this kaddish, I need to, and it's going to be at the cost of another Jew who also wants it, then yotzoschor be'avseder, you've ultimately lost. This is not going to be what you're trying to achieve as well. And similarly, the Kitzur brings a statement from Chazal, which says that the lechem aponim, the showbread, which is in the base of Mikdash, which was distributed to the group of Kohanim who are working that week, the Gemara says, avshu mitzvah le'ochel, it's a mitzvah to eat the showbread. But shonino, that we were taught hatzenuim, those who are more humble or more modest, the people who are a little more modest and humble would not be the first ones to try to stick their hands in or push each other off the ramp when trying to go up the mizbeach. One has to be careful that brazenness is to those who mock one against doing a mitzvah, but for all those who want to do it, it's better to take a quieter role rather than to be at the cost of somebody else. And finally, last concept is the importance of environment. Why is environment so important? And we know that people are environments influenced by their friends and those around them. When we choose a neighborhood, our kids' friends are going to be a primary source of their education as well. How does this affect the way I live? So one should choose to be around sages and refined people to learn from their actions. For instance, I remember I was once overhearing a conversation between a fellow who is a Jewish contractor, is working with somebody, with one of the people he was hiring, and they started joking, and the jokes turned to inappropriate jokes, and the guy was listening and laughing and so on, and it's not becoming. But the reason why that happens is because when you're in that environment and that becomes the talk, and you have to kind of fit in, then you sort of become slowly involved and like the types of low conversations that are being that happen in those environments. Choose environment carefully. What happens if I live in a place where there are bad leaders or people, the culture in general is very corrupt? Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you should move on. Don't stay there because you will be influenced as well. In fact, Shlomo Melech used to say, he says, Holech el chachamim yechkam, a person who goes to the sages will become wise. Uroik silim yero, and the person who goes and spends time with the fools will ultimately become, will bitter in the end of the day, will become negative. How do we become more godly in our actions? So attach oneself to sages and those who embody Torah values. What does that look like? So the Gemara says that there's a mitzvah asay. There's a positive commandment to dovek b'talmidei chachamim, to cleave oneself to those who are sages. Kedei lilmod b'maaseim, to learn from their actions. As it says, uvoy tidbak, you should cleave to Hashem. How can a person cleave to Hashem? But it refers to those who are living the life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means to say, try to have meals with them, try to do business with them, try to spend time with them, even trying to marry into their families so that one is connected with them, because that does have a significant influence about the type of life, the type of conversation, the type of values that a person needs. With this, we conclude the first section of this very important topic of characteristics to acquire. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.